This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker, in for Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We need only say today's date, and there's a collective pause. 216 of the people killed in the attacks of September 11th, 2001, had ties to Massachusetts. At a memorial service outside the State House in Boston this morning, family members read the names of the victims.
Alberto Dominiquez, Jamie Lynn Fallon, Alexander M. Filipov.
Alexander Filipov was traveling from Boston to Los Angeles for a short business trip. He planned to celebrate his 44th wedding anniversary with his wife, Loretta, when he returned.
His son, David Filipov, is a Boston Globe reporter who's written about the loss of his father and then covered the subsequent wars in Afghanistan and Iraq.
When we spoke with Filipov earlier today, he began by recalling the events of that morning 12 years ago.
I was in Moscow. I had actually just returned from Murmansk, where I was going to write a year anniversary story about the sinking of a Russian submarine that had been a big deal in 2000. And I'm sitting down at my desk, turn on the TV, see the buildings, go, uh-oh, turn on my email. There were no phones, right? And that's the first email that I saw.
That said that your dad was on the first plane.
That's right. I'm watching it all on TV. We were all, like, everybody transfixed. And, you know, at the same time, you're wondering, well, you know, maybe... You know, maybe he's okay.
Right.
You know,
of course.
You look at that now and you say, how is that possible? Especially that grainy video with the man who utters the expletive as he's shooting it. You see what happens to that plane. But, you know, I'm looking at the tower burning and I hear the announcers try to put it together. And then, of course, while we're all watching, the second plane happens and it starts to come together that this isn't just an accident. And then I start getting phone calls. Hey, do you want to talk to us? Hey, would you like to do an interview? And I got to see firsthand what it feels like when I call people to talk to them when I'm doing an interview. Hey, you know, how do you feel about... I mean, all journalists have suffered personal losses. And you always are thinking in the back of your mind, you know, if I were you, I wouldn't let me interview.
Exactly. I wouldn't talk.
And I've actually said that to people since. I've said, you know, I wouldn't talk to me if I were you. But at the time, I thought it was a big enough deal that I had to talk. And... It was really clear from the beginning, as horrible as it was, and later on, I felt a lot more resentful about it, that this isn't going to be just my story. This is going to be America's story, and then it's going to be the world's story when you start hearing, how are we going to get into Afghanistan to take out the Taliban?
You wrote the obituary for your dad?
Yeah, and I did a horrible job. I'd love to have that one back. As I tweeted this morning, you know, I took it really straight, you know. For all the great things he did, it was this dry obituary as if I'd been like, you know, the intern. He's a genius. He was an inventor. He was an electric engineer. He would try to learn the sentence, where is the good Chinese food here, in as many languages as possible, because he figured if you go up to somebody and say it, like in Swedish, they'll figure you're somebody who can talk to them.
and your mom has become very active since this happened. She actually started a forum in your dad's memory, and she's written about it. Tell us about her.
She became this vibrant, necessary, combative, sometimes convinced person who joined Peaceful Tomorrows, who marched to Washington with a caisson, you know, who got really involved. She was in a group that saw a violent response as a bad idea. Then it redoubled that when the Iraq war. And I had to cover these wars. I went to Afghanistan. I was in Afghanistan 3 weeks after 9/11. I had to cover it, you know, as an American reporter who covers a war. I didn't get to have a peace agenda or an anti-war agenda. That was a constant source of tension.
That must have been so difficult to be covering, you know, a war that was in response to this attack. I mean, how?
You know, it was and it wasn't. You get to Afghanistan, there was nearly three decades of civil war prior to us arriving and everyone you'd meet. So, yeah, I lost a brother last year. You know what I mean? It was the perfect place to be for a reporter whose loved one was killed on September 11th because everybody could relate.
What about now, 12 years later? And you look at things. I did read some of the things that your mom had written about, saying that she tries not to think about what might have been, had there been proper warnings, had there been proper information about what we knew before the 9/11 attacks, had there been communication among the federal agencies involved. And here we are in 2013, 5 months after the Marathon bombings, where it appears that we have some of the same similar issues that we had 12 years ago.
I think that, for me, the question of security and preventing an attack is a big deal. But a huge part of this for me is we went into Afghanistan to get rid of the Taliban. And I look back at some of my stories, and I hate that I was sort of calling it. You know, this is much more complicated. It's hard to say where the Taliban is and where it gave up and where it went away and where it just sort of like turned, you know, put down their weapons and joined the rest of the population. And it was clear that this is going to require work. Our generals were saying, we're not going to repeat the mistakes. And then it all went away. We went and did something else, which ripped through our troops, ripped through the country's resolve. And then when you go back to Afghanistan, like I did in 2011 and the 10-year anniversary of September 11th, and found that the Taliban was back in the places I'd watched it surrender. It's just devastating to think that that is a mistake that we probably made that cost so many lives, and it's still a huge mess. Who knows what would have been in Afghanistan and how long it would have been if that had been the focus of our war on terror. I don't know if you can prevent a terrorist attack anytime you want to, but you could definitely make a plan for how are you going to solve the country that housed the terrorist who planned the attack.
But then how do you feel about something like Syria now?
So the first question you have is Syria and Afghanistan where we need to go in and we can fix something? Or is it Iraq where we're going to create a problem that is worse than the problem that was there? And, you know, Vladimir Putin is not behind us right now. He's working really hard to make Russia a huge player. And, you know, his gain and his goal is always think of Russia as a big, big, important place. That little plan that he, you know, has worked out, if that ends up being the solution here that allows us to get away from that conflict without having to go in militarily and therefore create a chain reaction that could be as devastating as some of these other wars, that'll be ironic, but there you go. There's diplomacy for you. Mm-hmm. I think that actually firing rockets at Syria in the hope that that's going to stop somebody who's willing to gas his own people from gassing them some more when he's already embattled and, you know, embroiled in this deadly, vicious, brutal conflict. I think that at least requires a lot of thought before you just go and support it.
How does it not make you bitter?
Journalist. Journalists don't get bitter. We write stories. You know, I wrote that one in 2011. You know, the people there are trying really hard. It's not like our troops are incompetent. It's not like our plan is incompetent. You know, if I were going to bitter about everything that I've seen that didn't work out, I'd be a nasty, bitter, old, bent old man. And I can't afford to be that because I have a son and he doesn't want his dad at 50 to be a bitter old man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, look around. We're going to walk outside right now. It's a sunny day. Most of the people are enjoying themselves. And, you know, when you go to a place like Afghanistan, people aren't enjoying themselves. But everywhere I've been as a war reporter, 99.44% of the people you meet just want to tell you their story, feed you, listen to your stories, and send you on your way happier than when you met them. That's what the world is. The problems are made of such a small amount of people. And when you realize that, you go to a place like Afghanistan or Chechnya, and you realize it's people who want to have a peaceful life. It's not being possible because of something that isn't working out. And if you can get to what's not working out and explain it to people and make a difference somehow, then you don't need to be bitter. You can be an optimist.
David Filipov is a reporter for the Boston Globe. His father, Al Filipov, died on American Airlines Flight 11 on September 11th, 2001. He was 70 years old. David, thank you.
Thank you.